and welcome to another episode of Grumpy Old Gay Men and Their Dogs. It is episode 111, day 87 here in the Zen Room. My name is Patrick Finn, and I am here with the inclement Tommy Gibbons.
Hi, bitches.
And how are you tonight, Tommy?
Inclement is the good word for it.
I figured as much.
I've been sick for 2 fucking weeks.
I know.
What the fuck? I didn't work last week.
Steven's been the same way. I had a cold for a few days last week. I know.
If I don't work, I don't get paid. And for me to stay home and not get paid...
That's a lot.
Is a lot. It doesn't happen. It's never happened. People who I've worked for would be shocked to know. We went to school when we were sick. My mother's friends used to say she had 10 kids, but 3 of them died on their way home from school. But we always went to school, and that's just the way. I never stayed home.
I was a parent.
You
just send them.
Yeah, the sniffles. You'll live. There's no fever. You'll live.
I have not had a fever though in the past 2 weeks.
Well, thank God for that.
But I haven't worked, and it's been just this week. There's things you have to do, and this week I'm packed with shit like that.
No. Well, we're glad to have you back.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
And tonight we also have a special guest, our friend and returnee to the show, Daniela Page.
What's up, y'all?
So happy to see you.
It's so great to see both of you.
I'm glad to have you back. So I called Danielle when we weren't sure if Tommy was going to make
it. Such a good idea.
But I figured either way, I want Danielle back on the
show.
Because
now...
It's a pleasure to be here.
We could share you.
Yeah. Oh, you can share
me? We could share the weight.
Oh.
That's right.
I didn't know it was a load to bear.
The vocalization, the opining.
And also, we want to apologize to all of our listeners out there. We have had a shitload of problems for the past 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, Tommy and I recorded an episode, and then we discovered afterwards, and I was going to start editing the podcast, that it didn't record. The timer was going the whole time, but nothing recorded. So we weren't sure what the problem was, if it was the microphone, which it turned out it was. So then last week, Tommy was out sick, so then I brought in Avery and Indy.
Yay, love them.
Did a great episode with them. The problem was, the microphone that we use is the same microphone that I use for work. It acts as a microphone and speaker. Okay. So the only one you heard clearly was Indy.
So Bryce and
Bryce and I were on the sides, but we just broke up completely.
Mm-hmm. We can't have that.
Can't have that.
Nope.
So, Steven, my lover, husband, and producer, ordered another microphone for us, and
he's the man.
We're back.
You got two.
We got two, actually, yes.
Yeah.
Someone made a mistake in the delivery.
Where is mine?
You want your own separate mic
hint?
Now?
You're hinting at
when
something
you,
there?
When you listen to the episodes, you can't really hear me.
That's because you're always sitting back like this and no one can hear you. If you sit forward like this, people will hear you.
Wow, there's a conundrum here swirling about.
Please, I want to do video. He doesn't want to do video.
No video. Look at this. No video. No.
People
so you're
love
good?
You.
You're good?
I'm good, actually.
Good.
Shocking, actually.
With your toddler granddaughter?
I have a 10-month-old granddaughter who it's just amazing to watch her figure shit out.
Is this your first grandchild?
My first grandchild, and she's teasing, with the peekaboo. She's like initiating play, which is just so fun. And she's got a sense of humor already.
What's her name?
Violet Valerie Hutton.
Violet Valerie Hutton.
I like that name.
Isn't that
I like
cool?
Violet. Right? The two V's are hard to say together.
VV,
VV Hutton. I like that.
You're right? I like that too. I call her Vi.
Who are you?
I am Nona, which is the Italian.
The Italian. Nona.
Because the other one on the other side is Nanny. So.
Yeah.
I would have went with Nanny, but I definitely let her have it.
They're going to decide. The child will decide. The child is going to call you what the child is going to call
That's
you.
That's exactly right. My parents ended up as Meemaw and Bebop.
Okay.
So, it's what they end up with. I'm excited to see what she comes up with.
I hope it's Hey Bitch. Hey Bitch.
I'd love that.
That'd be awesome, right?
I would love that. Somebody needs to keep me in line sometime, exactly. You know?
Even to the grandkid. Well, before we move on to our first segment, I wanted to cover a story that we've been following the past few weeks.
Yeah, we're journalists now. We cover stories.
Well, this is all an update on a continuing story, and it's the story of Next Benedict.
Next Benedict.
Next, N-E-X.
Okay.
In case you didn't know, on February 7th of this year, Next Benedict was a trans student attending a school in Oklahoma.
Okay. Public school.
Yeah, public school in Oklahoma. And apparently she got into, or they got into an altercation, they and another trans student got into another altercation in the girls' bathroom with three girls there.
Okay, so those two against three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, supposedly it started because the three girls started calling Next names, so she decided to splash water on them.
Okay.
And then they started getting physical with each other. And
never good.
No one went to the hospital for injuries or anything. When they left the school with her grandmother, with whom she's residing, they went to a hospital and checked her out. She seemed to be okay.
Okay.
The next day, though, she was unconscious, and they rushed her to the hospital, and she was dead.
Now, hold on 1 second. I only know what was the next step of this story. What do you think happened to this child?
Well, there's two ways you could go. One way is that they got, like, a clot when you get hit hard in the head or something. That you
so, as a result of that beating yesterday, she died.
Okay. Or drugs. That's the only other thing.
Without trying to tip my hand, on purpose, or...
Don't think so.
Because
I say no.
Because eventually what happened is the story advances.
Well, the full medical examiner's report came out today, the whole autopsy report.
Okay.
They say she basically died of an overdose of prescribed medications.
Okay.
They also further stated that yes, she did suffer scrapes and bruises to her body. However, there were no injuries that would have affected her brain.
Okay.
No traumatic brain injury of any type.
Yeah, because she didn't quite a hit on the noggin for that to happen.
Yes, but the medical examiner ruled that out.
Okay. So it wouldn't be the first time that some trans kid got the shit kicked out of them in a high school bathroom.
Yeah.
Where it caused them serious damage.
Sadly, that's true.
So is there new development?
Well,
here?
What happened was the Tulsa County DA, Stephen Kunzweiler, came out with a statement. He wrote, "From all the evidence gathered, this fight was an instance of mutual combat. I do not have a reasonable belief that the state of Oklahoma could sustain its burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt if charges were presented for prosecution."
I don't think he's full of shit.
I can agree with that. I just don't like the idea that this was mutual combat.
Well, wasn't it? I mean, even if she just threw the water at her.
Right.
That's not the last thing that happened in that bathroom.
And who knows how much of the truth we're getting from the whole gambit of people.
Well, number one, this the Next Benedict, she gave a statement to the police afterwards, and they recorded the statement.
Okay.
Saying that she was subjected to continual harassment. This wasn't the first time something happened like this. So I guess her suicide was the culmination of that atmosphere, you know?
Yeah.
That's only the best way you can describe it.
So they're saying charges for causing them to commit suicide.
Well, they're saying that they couldn't charge them with any type of homicide crime.
It's
a hard thing to prove. And that's what they're saying, that they couldn't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
I would agree
with that.
I don't think he's lying. I think, you know, sometimes it's just kids being dicks. You know, it doesn't have to be this huge anti-trans attack thing. It's
right.
Just kids being dicks. There were anti-trans kids in there. So, but it's just...
Well, you get teenagers of all mixes in a place together, there's going to be problems.
Now, we're talking about Oklahoma.
Even there, where they're teaching things still, I would think, that are predominantly Catholic and
I'm shocked
Christian.
that there were two trans kids that knew each other, let alone being the friends in the same school.
Yeah.
You know, God bless them for, you know, being themselves, though. I mean...
But that's the thing. I mean, these trans kids don't feel safe in these schools.
They're not safe.
And they're not
they're
safe.
Not safe.
They're
and
not.
There's nothing really generally being done to protect these kids.
Right, they end up being home.
Bitch, I wasn't safe in high school. Literally. I was not safe in high school. So, yeah, they got to do something about it.
Well, was that for being gay or for just being you?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So,
we have confirmation.
Right.
whatever, nothing was done. And nothing has been done in the 50 years since.
Not
50 years, 30 years, 35 years.
Yeah. It's something that now, with the times that it's being, it's easier. And I'm going to say that. And I'm no expert because I am just a straight white girl, you know. But it just seems like it's easier now for people to get to that point where they're coming out and actually showing themselves. So the climate, the social climate should be changing.
Yeah. But that doesn't negate, it's not like for every kid that comes out, it costs them one asshole kid. You know what I mean? That asshole kid is going to be there no matter what.
They're going to pick on somebody.
They're going to get somebody. Okay? So that kid is always going to be there.
I agree. There's always going to be those kids.
And it is not dealt with.
No, it's not.
So it's clear. You've got decades of public schooling that you could, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, back in my day, we're going to talk about the 70s when I was in high school, the jocks were at the top of the yes. social caste, you
yes.
know?
Yes.
And anyone that they were basically allowed free reign, pretty much, yep. you know, against everybody else that they could pick on and harass.
And it's boys being boys.
Mm-hmm.
So, I certainly am not surprised that the next day she committed suicide. That surprises me not
at all. Well, it just seems like that's the culmination of what they were going through, you know? Of what they were going through.
You don't want to wake up tomorrow. You don't want to have to do it again.
You don't have the energy to face that
and now,
shit.
And then you feel like you're in this atmosphere where you can't get any help from anybody.
Right.
But suddenly now, because I saw the video of her, her questioning, she was in a hospital bed.
Okay.
And she was alive and alert and clear and animated, and that it turned into something else the next thing. No, I'm not surprised at all. That child did not want to wake up. The life was so overwhelmingly...
Well, that's what it is. It clearly was going on for so long,
that
they just couldn't deal anymore. And for a young person, it's... with everything that's going on in their body anyway. Ugh.
Well, shit like that pretty much happens to young people. This is a young people thing.
Mm-hmm. But worse.
Worse. Oh, it's just, yeah.
Clearly worse, you know.
Hopefully, by the time you get older, you realize you don't have to put as much weight into everything else.
When I was in high school, the gay people didn't come out.
My school? Hell no. You came out after college.
After college?
Yeah.
After law school.
Yeah, you did not. Like high school? No. Nobody was gay in high school.
Yeah.
And then, once we graduated, then it was like, okay, yeah, I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why, because that culture is still, it was then, it's now.
It's a culture of fear.
Now, yep.
You know, it's
exactly.
a culture of fear.
It's
got to stop.
Yeah. And good luck, because ain't nobody addressed it. And nobody has done nothing about it anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
Where is it not happening? How did you make it happen like that?
Right.
Doesn't exist. You're on your own, motherfuckers. It's where they eat each other? Where the feral children eat each other?
Cannibal.
Treasure Island?
Oh. No, Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies. Well, they don't eat each other, but they
end up
breaking up into factions.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what is it, today's birthdays?
No, we're not even that far yet. We haven't even gone to our first segment.
I'm going to kill myself.
So let's.
Oh, no, you're not. Not here, you're not.
So let's bring on the lesbians.
Oh, yay.
Yes, she is. Welcome to Heavy Petting, the first segment of the show.
Can I get that lighter, please?
You sure can. And for our first segment, I have nothing out of the news, but I wanted to bring up something that I saw while I was out walking Abigail one day.
Okay.
And it was a young boy on a bicycle with his dog on the leash.
Okay.
As if he's walking the dog while on the bike. And I'm just thinking to myself, that's an accident waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh my God.
I have no objection to a kid doing that. Or with rollerblades or with a roller.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw somebody doing it with
skateboard.
Rollerblades. Yeah, rollerblades and a dog.
Rollerblades.
I thought it was bad, like mean at first. I'm like, he's going so fast on the rollerblades.
No.
But then when he turned the corner, the dog went ahead of him. So the dog clearly was enjoying the game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But I'm just, to me, it's just an accident waiting to happen.
Oh, my God, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
I don't care how well-trained your dog is. Anything could provoke it to start, just take off and jump or run. And then you're off your bike and possibly injured badly. Right.
Leashes and bicycles don't work well together. They're not meant to be around each other.
No, they're not.
There are some, believe me, there are some dogs that if you don't run this dog until, you know what I mean? Like you have to. I can't walk fast enough. I can't run that long.
Yeah.
I need to ride a bike and run this fucking dog. And sometimes this could be scary.
Yes, it can be.
You got to make sure you got yourself, you know, all... That you know where you are, who's around
you. You're going to adopt a kind of dog that needs that. You need to have a yard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the very least.
Exactly.
You know, so they can just do, you know, circles around the yard.
Yep. Definitely. So, parents, if your kids say they're going to take your dog out for a walk, make sure they're actually walking the dog with their 2 feet and not on a bicycle.
Bicycles, roller skates. Skateboards, whatever it is, whatever the hell it is, go take your dog out and have some fun.
Yeah, right. So with that, we're gonna move on then to our canine compendium, our dictionary of dogs.
Yay!
And we are up to the letter C.
Now it's important
at C the list.
Yeah, I was just gonna say this is our third time through the alphabet.
Okay. Yeah. So just happens to be
exactly if it's familiar.
Okay, I'm ready.
The C.
I always give Tommy some guesses.
I get to guess.
Okay.
Right now I'm stuck on the word Canterbury.
Ooh. Nope, you're not even close.
Yeah, so.
But you got the first two letters right.
Abigail, we're talking, right?
Nope.
Someone else, okay.
That's next on the list, actually.
Okay. Next is a Cairn. So it's C-A Canary Dog. It's a, it's a Caba basis Boscalusham dog.
Well, that sounds close enough to what the dog's actual name is.
Yeah, I know it's going to be some sort of like weird ass.
Kind of Lily Adolphus or something.
Yeah.
It's called the Ca Rater Mallorquín.
Oh my God.
Or really? In Spanish, the Ratonero Mallorquín.
But then it doesn't work with your C. Though.
Exactly. So I went with the original name, right, which is the Ca Rater Mallorquín.
Okay, and what do these lovely dogs look like?
It's a Spanish breed of dog of the ratter type found on the island of Mallorca.
So it's short and squat. Maybe it's long.
Well, we're going to show you a picture of it. That's a picture of it.
That. Okay, so it's like a mini, it looks like a mini Doberman almost.
Yes.
But the coloring is different.
Yeah, I love the big ears
on it. More shepherdish on the coloring.
It's going to get the rats.
But it appears to have originated sometime before the 19th century when they were first documented. They're 13 to 14 inches in height. They weigh about 8 to 11 pounds.
Oh, that's light.
It has a short coat. Colors are black and tan, brown and tan, and sometimes with white patches, like we saw on this dog.
I bet you that dog has to run.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's a runner, right?
Those legs.
But it is used, of course, to hunt rabbits and rats.
Right.
It is also a good watchdog and a good companion dog.
Aww.
Probably never shuts the fuck up.
Oh, look how beautiful it is.
Yeah, very cute. I could deal with a dog like that.
Right?
Me too. I like the short hair, you know.
Me too.
Yeah, right?
That's fur, and usually I tend to be allergic to fur.
Ah.
Yeah, but that's how I could deal with that dog.
It's a pretty good looking dog.
Yeah. It's a strong, healthy.
I like the long legs, too.
Stocky looking dog.
Right? I've got some long legs.
Yeah, I think you're being fooled by a camera angle because that dog doesn't... Like, if you look at the rest of those pictures, they don't have... Too.
This one, the legs don't look as long at this angle.
Yeah.
Then there's another one. Well, those legs are fairly long.
Those ears, too.
Yeah, those ears, those prominent ears on it.
Yeah, I hear those should dig in a hole. They're going to go...
And the tail, I'm wondering if it doesn't come naturally as a stubby tail.
Because not all of them have it. Yeah. This one does.
So maybe
it has the long tail.
Prefer to cut them down, which I don't think is a good
idea. I don't like them when they cut the tail either. I don't get that anymore. So that's the story of the Ca Rater Mallorquín.
That's a lovely dog, and thank you, Patrick.
My pleasure. We now move on to our next segment.
Happy birthday.
Here we go.
Aww. Many happy returns. A very happy birthday.
Yes, it's time for today's birthdays. And on today's birthday, she was born on March 27th, 1924 in Newark, New Jersey. She began playing piano at age 7 and sang with her local church choir and played at services. By her mid-teens, she ventured illegally into Newark's nightclubs and performed as a pianist and singer at the Piccadilly Club. She entered the Apollo Theater Amateur Contest.
Aretha Franklin.
Nope. Ah. But you're on the right track.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Nope. She entered the Apollo Theater Amateur Contest in 1943 and won first place, winning $10 and a week of performances at the Apollo. She later that year opened for Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, my God.
After performing with various bands, she began a solo career in 1945.
Billie Holiday?
Nope. Her first release was a song called Lover Man, which I'm going to play for you right now.
Lover Man, oh, where can you
go? Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker on this recording, too.
Oh, really? That's true.
Yep.
Mobley?
Mom's Mabley? Nope, not her.
Damn.
Let me see what else I can tell you about her. She released 48 albums between 1950 and 1987.
Oh.
She received 9 Grammy Award nominations. Nope.
Ugh.
And she won the 1983 Best Female Jazz Vocal Performance for her album Gershwin Live. She received a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 1989.
It's not Natalie Cole. It's Natalie Cole's too young.
Nope. Yeah, she's born in 1924, so yeah, it wouldn't be Natalie Cole. In 1999, her album with Clifford Brown and the single If You Could See Me Now were inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. In 1989, she was diagnosed with lung cancer and died the following year. She was married and divorced 3 times and had 1 adopted daughter.
Sounds like everybody else.
When you sigh,
I hear
never
Ella
in my word land could there be ways to reveal in a phrase how I feel.
There's Ella all over this.
That is the late, great Sarah Vaughan.
Sarah Vaughan. I would have put her much earlier.
What a beautiful voice.
Yeah,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God. Like, very deep.
She has they said her range was from, like, soprano to female baritone. Wow. They describe her range as.
That's more masculine than you.
Thank you, bitch.
Sure.
Where'd those lighters go?
Sarah Vaughan.
Oh, I'm holding one in my hand.
Ah!
Sarah slipped through the cracks for me. Like, I'm aware she's there, I'm aware, but I never really delved.
I think just because she's overshadowed so many, I think, by Ella. People like Ella.
I'm sorry, but I heard Ella Fitzgerald in that song.
I definitely heard Ella in it. And I think I had found her a few years ago, and I actually put it on my Facebook page, and I had forgotten because the voice.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so velvet and
yeah.
creamy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was Sarah Vaughan.
How old is she?
Nice. Well, very nice.
She's dead, but she would have been 100 years old if she was still alive.
Oh, God, good for her.
Can you imagine?
No. No.
Our next birthday celebrant is alive.
Okay. He was better luck with the living.
He was born March 27th, 1963 in Tennessee and raised in Los Angeles. In his teens, he worked for 5 years at a video store and became known for his film knowledge and film recommendations.
He born in 1963?
Yep.
Kevin Smith.
Nope.
Okay.
His first film was in 1992 with Harvey Keitel and Tim Roth.
Ah, okay.
Michael Madsen. Little film called Reservoir Dogs.
Michael Madsen?
In 1994, his film Pulp Fiction won Best Original Screenplay Oscar.
No.
And he was nominated for Best Director of the movie.
It's Quentin, or it's the director. It's the writer-director.
It's the director. And, well, he wrote it also.
So, and I'm struggling, is it Quentin Tarantino?
Yes!
Yeah, oh!
How many times Quentin Tarantino? Quentin, what did you think I was doing, having a stroke?
With you, anything's possible.
You didn't help. No.
Isn't he saying he's making his last film now or something?
That's well, there have been two things he said. That after his 10th film, he wasn't going to make any more.
Okay. I heard that.
And then he said after he turned 60, he wasn't going to make any films
exactly.
anymore.
Yep.
But from what I saw, he's already made 10 films. So he's already gone past
so why
the number 10.
It's like the retirement tour, the final tour, you know, goodbye tour, and they keep doing it like every 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you think by the time I'm 60, I'm going to be so done with this shit.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how many times have you said that? How many did you...
And you're still not done.
I can't... No, you're not done because you're not almost dead yet.
Do you have a favorite Quentin Tarantino film?
I like the... We were just talking about this today, Planet Terror.
Oh, from Grindhouse. From a Grindhouse.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Death Proof and Planet Terror. Oh, I love them.
Those are really fun, those movies. They really are.
Yeah, so good. It's funny, we were actually talking about that today.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Tommy, do you have a favorite Quentin Tarantino film?
No.
No?
No, I'm not. Like, I'm not a fan. I don't go seek it out. It's not really my genre, my oeuvre. So, did he do Kill Bill?
Yes, he did. Volumes 1 and 2.
I like that. She
good.
Was ferocious in that
Uma Thurman, yeah.
Uma Thurman, Uma Thurman, and yeah, just... He works with her a lot.
Yes, he does.
He has certain people.
He has a whole stable of actors that he continually works with.
Guest does that.
What's that?
Christopher Guest does that.
Yeah,
I think
same
they
thing.
All do that.
Same stable of actors all the time.
Yeah.
But that's why you got to not be a dick.
So you don't have a favorite?
Let's. What did I say?
Kill Bill?
Kill Bill.
Yeah, where she goes and kills her husband?
Yep.
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay. I would probably go with Kill Bill also, but I also really, really love Reservoir Dogs. Because I saw that movie in a double feature with Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks.
Oh, my God.
And Reservoir
That's a
Dogs.
Great movie too.
Reservoir Dogs played first. It was in a small little theater in Levittown.
You need Bachelor Party.
And there
after
was like,
that.
There was no one in the theater. There was like me and maybe a handful of other people. And this movie was fucking great. I absolutely loved it. Then, of course, it filled up for Bachelor Party.
Right.
But I was blown away by Reservoir Dogs. It was like, what a great movie.
Buckets of blood. Oh, my God.
I never saw it.
But I also have a special place in my heart for Jackie Brown.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a more subdued movie.
It is.
There's not as much violence involved. It's more about this whole cat and mouse game going on.
Yeah.
It's the return of Pam Grier.
Who doesn't love Pam
Grier? Right?
I mean.
Well, why'd she go away then? Where the fuck was she?
Well, maybe she had some personal issues she wanted to take care of.
I'm saying, sometimes you say never again after 60, and sometimes you say, holy shit, I'd love to do this again.
Do
but also, Tarantino's great, though, for bringing back actors that you have not seen in a long time.
He did that for Travolta, didn't he?
Yeah. Travolta's the perfect example of that.
Pulp Fiction.
Yep. He definitely revitalized his career.
For John Travolta. Now, John Travolta, as you both know, from the 70s, being the horn dog in the TV show. Not a horn dog.
Hunter.
What was it? Sweat Hog.
Yes.
Vinnie Barbarino.
Vinnie Barbarino.
If you go that far back, is how far you're talking about John Travolta.
Yes.
And this is part, like this reservoir, this Quentin Pulp Tarantino
Fiction.
Thing, Pulp Fiction, with him dancing with Uma Thurman. That's iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
it the
is
hair
iconic.
Coming down.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
Jesus,
it's a whole new thing for him to be identified by.
And that's what Tarantino has made so many iconic scenes in his films.
Yeah.
He really has.
And I think it's one of the coolest characters he's ever played.
Yeah.
You know, some of them, Vinnie Barbarino, okay, he's cute, but whatever.
In the 70s, that was cool.
Right,
yeah,
exactly,
the 80s, the disco
right.
dancer was cool.
And then Saturday Night Fever, right, which it was like, ew.
But then he made Look Who's Talking and
Cowboy.
Right,
yes,
and,
okay.
Oh, God, yeah. He had a string of not-so-good
films.
Urban Cowboy,
Look Who's Talking was cute.
It was okay.
That's a holy shit. My daughter's going to college movie. You know what I mean? I need to make $100,000 really fast.
Yeah.
$300,000, whatever it is.
Well, anyway, to our birthday celebrants, we say.
Happy birthday!
Where do
happy
we stand on
birthday.
John Travolta?
Hey. What's that?
Where do we stand on John Travolta?
What do you mean, where do we stand? Is he gay, you mean?
No. No, like politically, is he a douchebag? What do we know? Did it turn out that he... Scientologist?
Yeah, he's a Scientologist.
So right there for me, he's out.
I think that's why he's not out of the closet, because he's a Scientologist.
As a gay man out of the closet.
Yeah.
Right.
So you think he's gay?
Yeah. There's a picture of him laying his kiss on a guy before he got on a plane.
I think you go both.
You don't lay on a guy if you're straight.
So we don't hate him.
No reason to hate him. No.
Okay, all right.
No.
He's not proven to be a douchebag except for the whole Scientology thing.
That's it.
All right.
So he
I get it, but that's not enough for me to just make him a douchebag.
Beck, the musician, is a Scientologist.
Yeah.
And I love his music. Do you know Beck?
Yeah.
He's a Scientologist.
All right.
But his music has nothing to do.
You know what I hear?
With John Travolta
is a Scientologist too.
No, really?
We heard that recently.
Just learning things.
Anyway, we now move on to our next segment. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. Yes, it's time for Bring Out Your Dead.
All right, who died?
I'm not sure you're going to know this person. He was an artist, born November 2nd, 1938, died yesterday, March 26th. He was named Richard Serra. He was an American artist known for his large-scale abstract sculptures made for site-specific landscapes, urban and architectural settings.
He didn't make vaginas, did he?
No, he did not. He far from it. He basically worked to extend the definition of sculpture, and his early work was made the use of rubber, neon, and lead, and then later led to these large-scale steelworks. In fact, one of his most infamous works is one called Tilted Ark that was made in 1981.
Where's that?
It was in Foley Plaza in Lower Manhattan in New York City.
Okay.
It was across from what they call the Javits Building.
Okay.
And there's this whole big plaza there. He built this arc that basically like intersected through the plaza. And it's steel and it rusts away. People were not happy with this being there.
Not good forward thinking.
So after an 8-year fight, they removed it from the site despite protests from Serra and other artists.
Okay.
And the artist said to remove Tilted Arc, therefore, is to destroy it.
Wow.
Because he built it specifically for that setting. Case.
So is that what they're going to do? Are they going to destroy it?
They did. They dismantled it. They have not reassembled it. Okay. It's in some warehouse now.
Okay,
the pieces
so they didn't
of it.
Just crush it and everything?
No, nothing like that. It's just been taken apart and put away.
All right. That's acceptable.
Listen, if you're not going to keep your toys, if you're not going to take care of them, if you're not going to keep them out of the way, if you're not going to make sure that nobody else gets hurt from them, you're going to lose them.
Well, no one was getting hurt by it physically.
Well, not yet. Not until that fucking ship comes in and dings you and then your whole bridge falls down.
Yeah.
That's a whole other issue.
That motherfucker felt like it was made out of matches.
Yep, I said that. I said aluminum foil.
It
just crumbled. Ugh, horrible.
It's horrible.
But, you know, just let's give credit to the guys that cut off the traffic to
the
bridge.
Everybody so far did what they're supposed to do. It's okay. It's all so good right
six,
now.
But
let's take a breath. Make sure we know where everybody is.
Yep.
By the way, here is a picture of Tilted Arc.
Ah.
That's what it looks like.
All right, what was the problem?
Because it cut through this plaza, as you can see.
All right, so yeah, it's dead in the middle of it.
Yep.
And if it's metal, it could hurt somebody.
So it started to
rot. It was solid in the ground, and people didn't like it because, number one, it cut through the plaza.
It's an eyesore.
Number two, it was rusting and ugly.
Yeah.
But he made it that way on purpose.
Mm. Okay.
He made these sculptures like this, not only to like fit the landscape, but in a way to take over the landscape.
It completely dominates every possible view.
It dominates the area.
You get a decent look at nothing.
You know, I mean, clearly because he knew it was going to rust and everything.
He knew exactly that. Because he worked primarily in all these steel structures.
So, yeah. All right. So I see the art of it.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So it started, see, he didn't want to use Rust-Oleum. He didn't want to preserve it.
Right.
And so now we got to take it down.
Yep.
And it looks like Donald Trump's wet dream, if you ask me. It's just this fucking wall that blocks everything.
Good guy.
And also, I just found out in the news today that former Senator Joe Lieberman died at the age of 82.
He had a good run at the presidential race.
Yeah, well, yeah, when he ran, who did he run with originally?
Al Gore.
Was it?
He was Al Gore.
Yes, it was Al Gore.
Right, Gore and Leibovitz, yeah.
Yeah. But then he kind of like turned away from the party a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think like towards this last year or so, he was involved, getting involved the whole No Labels movement.
Okay.
So, yeah, he kind of, like, left the Democratic Party.
Yeah, well, he didn't like politics.
Well, he didn't like their politics anymore, I guess.
I mean, he didn't go to the Republicans.
No, actually, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. But anyway, to our decedents, rest in pieces.
Do you know the lyrics?
This?
Yeah.
I do not. I've heard them
is
before.
Is that Dies Irae?
What?
Dies Irae.
I don't know if it is. I don't know what it's called.
I just know it as the
funeral march.
All right.
Are there supposed to be words to it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
For real, I don't think so, but I think there
we
are.
We used to sing, sorry, you're dead. Yes, yeah, we're sorry that you're dead.
Yeah,
I was just going to say,
you know what I
mean?
Yeah.
There goes the soul.
See, that's good. That's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, all right, that's good.
I could see it having some kind of words.
Yeah. Somebody has had to assign that melody to lyrics.
All right.
Somewhere. We'll
somewhere follow. Down the line.
Okay, what's the name of the song?
Well, nobody
funeral
knows.
Funeral March.
Oh, he? Okay.
Funeral March, okay.
In the meantime, we'll move on to our next segment. Today in history! And today in history, on March 27th, 1996... this film was adapted into a musical that
made
its Broadway...
Are you doing Mrs. Doubtfire? Is that what this
no.
is?
No. Let me finish.
I was talking
that
about
was an early
your voice. I was talking about the way you're reading it.
No. This film was made into a musical that made its debut on March 27th, 1996 at the Music Box Theater. It starred John Davidson, Catherine Crosby, Andrea McArdle, and Donna McKechnie. It was the final Broadway show produced by David Merrick, with a score by Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Oh, my God.
No idea yet.
Hold on. It was a review, right? It wasn't...
It was based on a 1945 film musical with a score by Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Okay, hold on.
So it was a film first before it was a stage musical.
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yes, they're the...
I know who they are. They're the... Okay, so wait. This was never written for the stage?
It was originally written for film.
So it's Cinderella?
Nope. And they didn't write Cinderella. That's Lerner and Lowe.
No, you're wrong. It's Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay, well, this is not Cinderella.
All right.
But it was nominated for Best Original Score and Best Featured Actor in a Musical. It was originally based on a novel from 1932... then adapted into a non-musical film in 1933, starring Will Rogers. Then it was remade as a musical in 1945, and subsequently remade in 1962, and then made into a for television movie in 1976. When it premiered on Broadway, unfortunately, it did not run for long, closing after 118 performances. I'll play the song from it if you like.
Yes, please.
I started to... fade away, listening to his voice.
Cats.
Well, it's State Fair.
Oh, gee, because you can see the screen. Who told you look at the screen?
State Fair. As soon as I heard John Davidson, I knew it was good. Something like that, you know. From the, old town.
This is Andrea McArdle singing.
The things I used to like, I don't like anymore. I want a lot of other things I've never had before. It's just like Mother says. I sit around and mope, pretending I am wonderful and knowing I'm a dope.
Is the gentleman is a dope? No, the gentleman is a dope is from...
That's Pal Joey, isn't it?
No, no. Because Roger Hammerstein.
Guys and Dolls?
No.
No, this... I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string.
I'd say that it is spring fever. But it isn't even spring. Discontented. This lives in my head at Barbara Curry singing it. We did a Rodgers and Hammerstein review. And there was... This was in it and she sang it. And it's in my voice, in my head, in her voice. And at least twice the tempo.
Yes, it's a song, It Might As Well Be Spring.
It Might As Well Be Spring.
That was lovely.
Right? Wasn't that pretty?
Yes.
Lovely.
So, yeah.
Lovely.
Have you ever seen State Fair?
I haven't.
Not,
I
you haven't seen the film?
No, it's completely off my radar.
I might have when I was little.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's acceptable.
We could watch on a rainy day.
But that wasn't the only Broadway musical that opened today. This one opened on March 27, 2003, with songs primarily written by Jeff Blumenkrantz and Jason Robert Brown, along with songs from the film on which it was based on, and other songs from country music artists.
Memphis.
After receiving harsh reviews, it closed after 60 performances. The show was directed by Lonnie Price of Merrily We Roll Along fame, and was mostly newcomers. The reviews described it as vulgar and bland, and assembled according to a low and specific assessment of audience expectations, and a musical whose creators weren't quite ready to get on the horse, filled with songs haphazardly and devoid of dramatic value.
Robert Lopez? Go back to the writers. Who wrote it?
Jeff Blumenkrantz and Jason Robert Brown.
Jason Robert Brown. And Bloom... Oh, was it 13?
Nope. Here's a song from it, though.
I've been dreaming of a hill by a river, and the West Texas breeze is blowing strong.
Well, that's a handsome face.
Good and high in
the His name is Matt Cavanaugh.
I know who Matt Cavanaugh is.
He was in the original production of this.
And no, it don't get better than this, I know. But I know, sure as those hills are made to climb.
This sounds just like Jason, everything Jason writes.
No, it don't get better than this, I know. And I know it's just the matter of time.
The Cowboy.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
It's from Irving Cowboy,
oh,
the musical.
Okay.
That song was indeed written by Jason Robert Brown.
Oh.
But the show, it was... nominated for Best Choreography and Original Score.
So it got some nominations.
Yes.
Okay.
For the original score, they had listed over 30 composers and lyricists.
Oh my God.
Because of all these other songs that were added to the show.
SpongeBob SquarePants has like...
Same thing, yeah. It's all... at least that whole show is based on all added music by other composers. This is like a hybrid of original music and all this other music that's added to the show.
That's a great score, though.
What score?
Sponge Square Bob Pants.
Yes.
That's Mark Mothersbaugh.
Yes, that is.
Right, that's Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo. He did the original song for that.
For what? SpongeBob SquarePants?
Yeah.
I know David Bowie wrote a song for it, I think.
Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. Yeah, but this
cool
show...
And the show was so fucking cool.
Really?
The show was really cool.
But yeah, but Urban Cowboy, not so much.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I saw it with somebody much younger.
Okay.
So when I saw Spamalot, anybody who knows, you know, the Monty Python, see the joke coming. They know the setup. They can tell sometimes
you
by
the
lighting.
You can say the joke when they say it.
Exactly. You can say it. And evidently, that's the way SpongeBob is for a certain subsect of humans.
Do you want
We now move on to our next segment.
What day is it? Could you please tell me? What day is it? I'm confused, you see.
Yes, it's time for what day is it?
Velcro Day.
No.
National Day of Childhood Peace.
No.
National Shoehorn Day.
No. I love that. That's a great
one,
day. Right?
That's a good one.
I like that one.
Really good to that one.
That's a good one. Do you have any others? You have any other ones?
No. National
Castanets Day?
Chiquita Banana Day?
Head Day?
Hat Day.
Steven's here playing charades with us.
Steven Day.
Gray hair. Jazz hands, National Showbiz Day. Oh, it was World Theater Day.
Yes, today is World Theater Day.
Thank you, Steven.
Thank you for the pantomime, Steven.
I'll never get that out of my head.
Yes, but today is World Theater Day, celebrating theater all over.
Nice.
And I think there's two things we should emphasize today. Number one, theater is a great teaching tool.
It's wonderful.
When I hear about school budget cuts, and one of the first things they want to cut are theater programs, I think it's the biggest mistake.
Any art program, it's horrible.
And it's always first.
Yeah.
Theater teaches teamwork, it teaches responsibility.
It addresses a whole subset of people, a whole group of people that are struggling right now.
And it encourages social ability.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a great
tool to take theater and music away from kids at any age is, I think you do it at your peril.
It's dehumanizing.
Yes.
You know?
It is. Yeah. So that was one thing I wanted to bring up. Second thing I wanted to bring up on World Theater Day, since we all work at local theaters, is about supporting local and community theaters in your own communities.
Because there's
Isn't that how most people see shows?
As opposed to going to Broadway.
As opposed to, or even a tour. Because
yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But I also think now we're in a culture where kids are not exposed to theater anymore because their parents weren't exposed to it.
And that's your fault.
That's your generation's fault.
And that's my generation's fault. Yeah. My generation.
I am not.
But if the kids can't get the theater and stuff like that in the school, then they have to have the theater.
Yeah.
You know, the community theaters. Because not having a theater program, it gives me the chills.
I know, right?
It's horrible.
But that's why I think it's so important for local towns and villages.
Unless you have music of some kind in your life, you know, and theater, and like just play acting.
Yeah.
You know? It's
And believe it or not, you'll actually see good theater at some of these, good drama or comedy at some of these theaters.
That's what I was so impressed
You'll see some quality productions.
Because not everybody wants to go out and be a star. There's some amazing talent that wants to have a kid and you know, just maybe do stuff in the local theater.
One of the best things I ever saw in Long Island Theater was Smithtown Theater's production of You're in Town.
Oh, I love that one.
And the second half of the show was mostly ensemble work. And it was fantastic.
It's a great show.
It was like watching a Broadway show. It was so well done.
Wow. It really was.
And
Smithtown.
Gateway Theater does some wonderful stuff too.
Yeah.
Gateway's doing, what do they have running right now?
I don't know.
No, it's, I was like, oh. Well, anyway. Type something.
But.
What's a Gateway? I'm going to tell, no, yeah. you guys go,
Check
go.
Check your calendar.
Well, that's all I want to say, right?
I'll say
about World Theater Day. But today is also National Spanish Paella Day.
Oh, two things got my heart right there.
Have you ever had Spanish paella?
I have had Spanish paella.
And you, Danielle?
I have, and anything Spanish.
I agree.
Is delicious.
I agree.
But for those of you who don't know, it originated in the 19th century in the Valencia area of Spain. That's on the East Coast.
Okay.
At lunchtime, workers in the field would make this rice dish on a flat pan over a fire, and they would add whatever they could find, rabbits, snails, vegetables, eventually chicken. But there are many versions of paella, but the key ingredients are saffron, which makes the rice yellow, and olive oil.
Gateway Theater is doing the ice
as you're talking about paella.
Okay, perfect timing. Perfect timing.
And I bet they're doing a fucking beautiful in the Heights.
I'm sure they are.
Oh, they Son are. Saw it last week and he loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's got his wife's uncles have like a subscription to Gateway. Yeah. So he was okay. There we go. Yeah.
And last but not least, today is National Joe Day.
Hey, Joe.
Joe Day.
Yes, in just which we pay homage to people and things named Joe.
Named Joe.
Yes.
Joe Cool.
Joe Cool.
Hey, stupidest thing I've ever heard.
A cup of Joe.
A cup of Joe.
Joe Mama.
Oh, nice.
JoJo was a man who thought he was a woman.
Ooh.
But he was another.
One.
Yeah, so you have any Joes in your life?
There's a Joe or two. I understand now how this wraps into the top five.
Yes, yeah. I'll be later.
Yeah, which just doesn't help at all, by the way. Joe. Yeah, everybody knows Joe. Joe's every guy. I think that's the point of this. Joe is every guy.
Especially
it could be anybody.
In New York.
Joe the plumber.
Yeah, Joe the plumber.
Joe Prendergast, our nephew. You like him. You think he's cute.
He's a good boy. Now he's a pilot. He's a big, full-grown man right
Yes,
now.
He is. He's cool. He's a pilot now.
All right, so Joe Day.
Yes. Right, so yeah. Here are all the Joes.
All right.
The Joe.
If there's a Joe out there, here's to you.
Here's
to you, Joe, you bitch.
Well, we normally go into Turn Your Head and Cough, but we have no help. No health news this week.
Oh.
So holding your cough.
We haven't had health news for a while.
Well, yeah, I know. There's really nothing going on too much except scaling back of the COVID restrictions. Yeah.
I've been sick for 2 fucking weeks. Turn your head and cough.
COVID is going to turn into just like the regular flu. You know, it's like every year the flu would go around. That's what's going to happen.
I hope that's what it turns into.
Around, you know?
That, yes.
Too many people died from it, you know?
Too many. Way too many.
Right?
Oh, God. Remember that when everything was shut down?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God. In March.
Yeah.
2020.
Yes, it was March like 12th.
Yep. The 16th was a Monday, and we couldn't go to work then. We had to work from home.
Yeah.
Whew. And I was going to the grocery store. I was a wreck. I was so paranoid and so freaking out.
Well, it was fucking freaky.
It was.
It was.
I remember the one Saturday in March, we went to the market, and I was like, we need to go home.
Yeah, I was terrified.
We need to go home.
Yep.
Yeah. It was, you know, there were refrigerated trucks outside of convention centers where they're piling bodies because they don't have the refrigeration.
I know.
Fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. It was a Stephen Kingian.
Yeah, right.
It's the kind of thing you just, society all of a sudden, bam! And how do you deal with that? And
that's
something that on Stephen King's scale of things to write about.
And, you know, in human history, it's had its moments, you know.
We've had this before, the Spanish flu.
The Spanish flu, and that one was probably the worst one, the Spanish flu.
So far.
Yeah.
So far.
See?
And if it's every 100 years, it's going to be every 100 years. Just pay attention and know that 100 years from now, hello, don't be surprised
if it happens again.
Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out.
Climate change and the planet getting warmer.
Let your scientists work. All those nerds want to do is track this shit.
Yeah,
let them track it. Give them money. Keep them happy.
That was another thing, like, because I got diagnosed in December of 2020 with COVID, and I was hysterical crying. I was freaking out. But, like, the health department calls you and, like, grills you on where you've been the last 3 days and who you hung out with, and we need to contact. And I was like, oh my, and then they would call back and check. And,
oh, oof, my God.
There were people who were employed to go do exactly that, people's background checks.
That's exactly right.
The crazy world. It was fucking crazy.
Waiting in line for a shot.
And it wasn't long ago.
No.
Which is what's
right.
Still kind of scary.
Right?
Yeah. Because it lasted, you know, it started 2020, but it really didn't end until 22.
Yeah.
You know? Or it's not even over, but the worst of it ended.
Anyway, it's time to move on to our next segment.
How about a little round of Get the Guests? How about a little game of Get the Guests? I don't get to hear this very often.
Yes, it's time to play Get the Guests with Danielle.
All right, I'm ready.
The last time Danielle was here, she was discussing the cannabis culture here on Long Island.
Yes, indeed.
But now we're going to talk about a new culture that she's getting exposed to within the theater community.
Yes.
And what role are you playing right now in the theater community?
I am currently the stage manager for the production of Bus Stop with South Shore Theater Experience.
Excellent.
Yes, under the direction of John J. Steele.
John J. Steele Jr.
Right.
Can't forget the Jr.
And this is my first time doing stage managing.
Wow.
And, you do the research, you say, okay, what does the stage manager do, you know? And with me, you know, you got to be perfect the first time, you know? So, you know, I'm like sitting there with my pen and I'm like freaking out. And John's like, it's cool, I'm cool, you know, it's all good. And the experience was so not stressful.
Good.
You know? And we, you know, we're not done yet. We haven't gotten to Hell Week yet. It's in, you know, next week. But it's been a very good experience for me.
Good for you. That's excellent.
The just watching the culmination of the play itself, how the blocking forms and the actors, how they grow into their parts, is just so great to watch.
Who's in it?
Rosie Collette, Cade
Meyer.
Right. Bob.
Bob Budnick.
Okay, yeah. I know all their first names. Michelle.
Yep.
James. Sean.
Heather Newmar.
And Heather Newmar, right. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah, I think, what, seven people in the cast?
Yeah, eight. Eight people. Total, yep.
Okay. When does it open?
It opens on April 5th. Friday, April 5th.
Yep, it runs on April 5th, 6th, and 7th, and then the 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Right, exactly.
We have one matinee on the Sunday.
And I got to tell you, it's a really good play.
It is
a
good play.
Just by William Inge.
It's a classic play.
Yes, it's really cute, quaint, you know, and each, like, I'd say most of the characters have an arc that you can see,
right.
You know, how they, you know, figure something out about themselves or something.
Yeah.
That's the way it was written, you know. So I love seeing those arcs in the characters. That's so cool.
Definitely.
So it's been a great experience. I would definitely do it again.
Well, I was going to say, because you've performed on the stage as an actor, has your perspective changed at all now that you've been on both sides?
I actually like this side of it better.
Really?
Yeah. Only because the idea of memorizing lines just terrifies me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had classes where I was learning monologues, and it was just really hard for me to get the whole thing. And I would do it every day. So that made me a little nervous.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, when the stage manager thing came up, I was like, that's the perfect niche for me.
Yeah.
You know, so, because I think, like, my nerves wouldn't, you know, affect my acting.
Okay.
So, you know, in this way, I'm behind the scenes, but I'm still a big part of it.
Of course,
you know?
Definitely.
So, yeah, I actually really enjoy this role.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that, hon.
Absolutely. So, and thank you guys so much for, you know, giving me the opportunity.
Of course.
Oh, it's been wonderful.
We love bringing in new people to work on the, you know, on the theater.
Speaking of new people, we've kind of come full circle in our friendship now, because we first met Airport Playhouse.
Yes,
the
we
play,
did.
Right?
That was, what, back late 90s,
and
I guess?
Yep, and that was with John Steele.
Yep, Born Yesterday was the play.
Yes, Born Yesterday, yep.
Oh, who played the girl?
Debbie
that
Cassio.
That was Debbie Cassio Plazia.
Oh, was it really?
Yes, it was.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And I played the gangster.
The gangster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so now we're, you know, we've lived our lives and did our things, and now we're coming back to doing the theater thing.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful.
It's like elephants. They make a circle to die.
What's that?
They all come back and make a circle to die.
Yes. That's what theater is.
I was thinking elephants, but
what are you trying to say?
I don't know for sure.
Well, for those of you who are interested, come see Bus Stop at South Shore Theater Experience at Wellwood Avenue in Lindenhurst. It's running April 5th through the 7th and April 11th through the 13th.
Yeah, and you will not be disappointed. It's really lovely.
Yes, I've watched the rehearsal or two, and it's a very entertaining show.
Absolutely.
And if you want more information about the show, you can go to the theater site, SouthShoreTheater.com.
www.SouthShoreTheater.com.
Yahoo! To quote Bo Decker.
Right?
Yahoo!
Well, thank you for sharing with us, Danielle.
My pleasure.
That's great news.
Yeah, it's really great.
Have fun.
Oh, I am. And thank you.
We now move on to our next segment, wherein we take a look into my briefs.
Come on, let's face it. We've all been there before.
Been there, done that. Well, the first thing I wanted to talk about was, as you may have heard, Trump got a break from the appellate division this week.
I can't.
He wanted to appeal the judgment against him in the civil fraud case, in which there was a judgment of, $454 million right. against him?
Right.
And he wanted to appeal it, and the judge said, fine, but you have to post a bond in the amount of $454 million.
Which is standard practice.
Which is no problem for him.
Yes.
But no, it's standard practice. You, in order to get, after a judgment in New York State like this, you can appeal the judgment, but you have to put up the bond for the price of the judgment plus 10% plus whatever.
Wow.
Okay.
Plus the interest. That's, I mean, that doesn't even include the interest.
This interest is something like $80,000 a day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is crazy.
Okay, so he has to put up the money that he's supposed to pay.
The right. original judgment.
Right. In
yeah.
order to appeal.
In order to appeal.
Okay. Right. So he says, I can't do that. So now the judge is saying, all right, so you don't have to do, go ahead, pick it up.
The judge, the appellate division,
for fuck's sake.
The appellate division basically said, all right, we'll give you a break. You only have to post $175 million and we'll give you 10 more days to do it. And everyone's like,
wow.
Who gets a break like this? Nobody else gets a fucking break like this.
Nobody gets a break like this, no.
You know? There are people who can't pay $100 bail.
Yeah.
They toss their asses in jail right away.
Money talks. I can't.
This guy's always saying how fucking rich he is. Fine, put your money where your mouth is then. What, because you went to 30 bond companies and none of them would front you the money? Because they know that you're unreliable?
The Trump Organization goes to 30 bond companies.
30!
Could you imagine?
Oh my God, that's...
30!
They don't want any part of it.
30 separate companies, at least the bottom 15 of which are salivating at the chance of working with Donald Trump. Nope.
So not one of them was a Trumpster, huh?
Because he's unreliable. He won't pay them back.
You're talking
about his reputation. If they want the money back, well, they'll go to court, and he'll drag it out the way his current criminal trials and civil trials are being dragged out.
He's looking for $500 million. Basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the judgment.
Yeah. The judgment is $500 million. It's crazy.
Rich people problem.
Well, that's the thing. This perpetuates the image that the rich get treated differently.
They absolutely
do. And there's no denying it now. When you see something like this going on, you know, it's bullshit.
No, you know, and the problem is nobody's showing this to the poor people. If they see this shit, the very people who, like, it's the whole thing with him hating the people who support him, you know what I mean? And manipulating people based on their lower instincts.
I understand
that
completely. He's appealing to them on a level that...
He finds the thing, this is white anger.
Mm.
So he's got that white male anger... Which includes the Christian thing,
right?
Until it doesn't, because they're not too happy about the Bible thing, from what I understand. But the whole thing is—it's just a disgusting thing.
Yeah,
and he's getting a break.
Yep.
He's getting a pennies on the dollar fucking rate.
Yeah,
it's more than half
and
of the rate.
He can still run for president.
Yep, he's using that. The run for that all of this is election interference, as if he has some sort of obligation to the election. This is not happening while you're running for president. You're running for president while this is happening to
right.
you.
He's running for president because it's happening.
Right.
Right. That's all.
Yeah.
And now he's using it as a reason to say, and to me, you lose that right to say. You know, this is you're piling up on me, you're bullying me, you're blah, blah, blah.
Well,
blah,
I love
blah.
When he says, you know, I was going to use that money on my campaign. He has never spent a penny of his own money on the campaign.
The shamelessness is what is so disgusting to me.
And that's why he has so much money, because he's shameless. He steps all over people, he rips them off.
Which is his right. What I don't understand is, why are we spending so much time listening to him? Why are we looking at him? Why are so many people so convinced?
I know.
When it's so clear
that he's crap.
He proves it over and over again.
Not to mention the dementia that appears to be going on. We need to bring crime to law and order.
This is Trump said that?
Trump said that. I was at some rally or press, whatever.
We need to bring crime to law and order.
We need to bring more crime to law and order.
Yeah, he's
all right.
He's crumbling.
That makes zero sense, and I don't know the context. That's Trump said that.
He also said we can't have elections during political seasons.
Yeah, what does that even mean? You know, like, that's what.
Well, what could he possibly have meant?
Maybe that the political season being that those 2 years before the election that they're all campaigning.
I don't know.
The campaigning never stops.
Yeah.
Right. It never stops.
What was the sentence?
Yes.
What was the quote? Say the quote again.
I don't remember the exact wording of it, but he's like, shouldn't have elections during political seasons.
But it's intertwined. It's intermingling. I mean, I guess the election's the end result, but. It's just.
Stay tuned, folks. But also in this segment, we go to Florida.
Oh, boy.
With something that I think I agree with.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You better get your sandals ready, bitch. That's the how it starts. That's the first way.
Oh, boy.
It's like flesh-eating disease.
I know. Governor Ron DeSantis.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Signed into a law a ban on social media of 14-year-olds and younger.
I heard about that.
This is okay with you?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
I think it is.
Okay.
It's a slippery slope. And quite honestly, there's a debate. Is it the parent that makes that decision? Or is it
They're saying at age 15, then, they can use it with permission of the parents.
Okay, so they're treating it like a drug, kind of. Or like a pack of cigarettes or a beer, you know? It's like the internet.
No, that's an outright ban.
You know?
Until you're 18, until you're an adult, you can't do this. There's not. First of all, an age up until parental permission, like that's. When else does that happen? Maybe tattoos, maybe abortions.
Maybe driving.
Driving. Yeah. Okay. You have that.
Alcohol.
Parental.
Oh, okay. Alcohol. Yeah, no, you can't even have.
And let's face it. No. From what we've seen up to now, these social media sites are harmful to kids. To me, they're the equivalent of the slam books back from our day.
I kept the internet in my bedroom when Hank was a teenager because,
I mean, I think when I was first on the internet and some of the arguments that I would have with people, and I'm like, why am I doing this? I wouldn't do this in person with these people.
And
these are young kids we're talking about, and they, you know, they are emotional. They react right away, and people get hurt.
It is very dangerous for younger kids. I agree.
Absolutely. That's not the objection, I think.
What's the objection?
Predators.
Yeah.
That, too. That's another reason. That's a huge reason.
Yeah.
That's a huge reason.
Yeah.
Big.
I totally disagree with you.
Why?
Because it is a clear example of the state imposing itself into a decision. It's the same thing as, it's similar to, it's adjacent to, it's leaning sort of into a control of your own bodies situation where the state really shouldn't put your face there with me and my 14-year-old.
That's the debate. Is it the parents?
Because eventually I'm sure there's going to be a lawsuit arising out of this.
I don't think it's constitutional.
And so what you're going to do instead is what?
I think it will be. Is if the state can prove, depending on the level that it's judged at, if the state can prove a compelling or substantial interest in promoting this law, the courts may uphold this law because it's trying to protect underage kids.
Yep. They definitely, I agree with the protection, and it is needed because it is, it's predators. Nothing but predators.
The predators, and also, like I said, the maliciousness that these kids experience online.
Yes.
That they shouldn't. It's like, Go outside and play. Go play with your friends. Is, get off your fucking phones and
computers. No, see, but that's the thing. It's this. It's this is their world. This will always be their world.
Maybe you shouldn't be.
Well, maybe so you should. Maybe you should try to stop.
Maybe it should be when they are at a more mature emotional level where they can deal with social interaction on the internet.
See, which I don't disagree with. I object to you making the decision for me and putting the age at arbitrarily 14.
But if we rely on parents to enforce that.
That's not our concern.
It's not going to happen.
That's not the concern. The concern of the government is making sure that that parent has the right to make that decision.
I mean, how can they possibly completely ban it, too? The kids, won't they find a way?
It's impossible. It is.
Wasn't there a case of these girls, and they were attacking this girl, and they were telling her to go to kill herself, mm-hmm. and she eventually
did. She did.
Yes,
yeah.
And there are hundreds of thousands of horror stories that begin with www. Yeah. I totally understand that, and I agree. I see it. I know it's there. I'm not. What I'm saying is what you might want to do.
Should the government tell someone when they can look at the internet?
How? Or by who? Or under what circumstances?
Is it the government's job to do that?
It is. Yes, it is. You're not going to tell me I have to vaccinate my kid.
Right.
You're not going to tell me when my kid... It's to me, it's the same argument. I don't know. I think that you give up a lot when you follow one of those doctrine things. You won't vaccinate my kid. I won't. You won't. What are we arguing about?
The internet.
You won't. Yeah, the internet. You won't tell me when the limit is for my kid on the internet. You're not going to tell me.
We already tell people kids under age 17 are not allowed in certain movies.
In movies, that's right. Exactly right.
We you're already do to... that.
Right.
Should we be saying, oh, but parents should make that decision for them?
No, because the parents are the ones who wanted to have this implicated in the first place.
The parents
this is what happens when you let somebody self-police.
That's not going to happen now.
No,
but that's what happened with the NC-17. That's what happened with the NC-17.
In this particular thing, it's the parents' job to make sure that kid is safe. You check their histories. You check their cell phones. There is no fucking privacy.
Whatever you know it is, you've got to do whatever.
Because that's
who you need to link into. What sort of mindset you need to approach it from.
And that was how I handled it. You know, it's not like it was against the law, but all right, that's how, as a parent, I chose to. Not every parent chooses that.
Neither choice should be illegal. This is what I'm saying, and I don't agree with everybody who has the right to do whatever the hell they want. I don't agree with them, but they have the right to do that.
How about, instead of banning someone from using the internet, how about they ban the fucking predators, get the friggin', the predator people.
They do that.
Under control. Now, do they do it to where they can't use the internet at all? I'm hoping that
I don't know how each individual case is handled.
I'm hoping they have I don't know if they're
allowed. But they do suffer restrictions on the internet.
They do.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. See, that's.
But this is who are the developers? Who is making the money? Maybe this is another example of follow the money. Who's making the money from the internet? And it is the software companies. No.
Yes.
It's not so much. Maybe it's storage companies. where the guy who manages the place that runs is just a big old warehouse full of servers. You know what I mean? There's that kind of shit, but who's making the money from this? And it's software, right?
Yeah.
So Bill Gates, all the guys, the whole regular set of them.
And anybody that's advertising on the social media sites.
That's exactly
making
it.
A lot of money.
Of course. Think of it like a media thing. Who's advertising? Advertising, you have... We've exhibited, and everybody does, some control over advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course there is.
Some things you can't.
That took a while, for that to take effect.
Yeah. And it's across the board. Countries do it. Or Germany, for some reason I know this, bans comparative advertising.
Ah.
Mine is better than yours. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's okay?
Yeah.
And shit like that leads to incredible creativity. But anyway,
I agree. That's new ideas.
What are we talking
about? We were talking about the Florida ban on social media for 14
years.
Yeah,
I disagree. I don't think it's. I may pass.
It already has. He's signed it into law.
He's signing it into law.
How they're going to implement that? I'm very curious.
I don't know.
You know,
That's an excellent point too.
Because I'm sure kids will find a way around
exactly.
it.
Today, okay, so he signed it into
like
bill.
When does it go? I don't know when it goes.
It goes into effect, say tomorrow, because whatever it is. Okay, so it goes into effect, and how are you going to police that?
Exactly. What are you going to do?
I got six kids in that house. Four of them are between
the
ages.
You have to be monitoring what they're doing, right? So that right there is an issue.
You and who's gonna keep track? Who's gonna know what's? Are you taking the phones out of the kids' hands automatically?
Yeah, and when a person's buying a computer or the internet to the internet, are they gonna say, "Do you have any children under 14?" You know, and you're not allowed to buy it if you know.
We'll have to see what happens. So you said this is a brand new law. We don't know exactly what's going to happen.
There's all kind of ways it could go.
So this will be to be continued.
I don't really think there is a whole lot of ways this could go. I think this is going to go pretty much the same way we all know it's going to go, on downhill, on fire, into a pile of shit.
Maybe it'll start something productive, though. Maybe this is a seed. I'm being positive, Polly.
Yeah.
Okay, I like positive Polly is always such a popular girl.
Oh,
around
God,
here.
Not me. Not
fucking
me.
Love me. Some positive fucking Polly.
Okay, so negative Nelly.
Her role is taken.
Hey, folks, Patrick here. That's the end of part one of our episode. You can hear part two next week. It will either be released on Wednesday, April 10th, or Friday, April 12th. It all depends how busy my week this is, because I'll be busy helping our friend John Steele during his tech week for the play Bus Stop at Wellwood Avenue at South Shore Theater Experience in Lindenhurst. So come on down if you'd like to see us. In the meantime, have a good night, have a good week. Have a good life, and we'll see you next week.